to episode 14 of the Rated NA podcast for NerdAppropriate.com. We're here. We're watching video. It's working.
Yeah. We had a little technical difficulty, so you may have to listen to the same
No, that's not how editing works, Ash.
No.
No, I'm not going to play the intros back to back.
No, I know that. tell the people in there what happened.
Oh, in the room.
Yeah.
Fuck the room.
Oh, okay. Fuck the room.
So we're here. We talked about missing last week.
Tripping balls.
I know. That was comedy gold. Maybe I'll put that back in. Yeah.
Being busy.
Being sick.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Missing a podcast week.
Yeah, so it's been 2 weeks since episode 13.
Yeah.
And we know we're a little backlogged on the episodes too, but everything's moving forward now. We're in regular production again.
Are we back on track? That's really the question.
I'm back on track, okay. I think was the issue. So, as I wrote in the website in an article, January kicked me in the balls, and it wasn't very much fun. So,
let's talk about what happened. I mean, you don't have to go into the details, but how hard were you kicking the balls?
What?
Like, let's talk about how hard you were kicking the balls.
It was a rough month. You trying to get me to cry on the episode? Is that what you
want? Yeah. I got a student to cry today. It was pretty fucking awesome.
How did you make a student cry with a history lesson?
I talked about... Well, I don't want to get too into it because it's fucking boring as hell. But right. I talked about the death of the royal family, the French Revolution. And I just told the whole story about what happened. And
a student cried, huh?
Yeah.
Do you get a merit badge for doing that? Do they give
no,
you...
No, I just think that maybe she was already, like, you know...
A little emotional, possibly?
Probably. And a 15-year-old girl, so, you know...
Right.
Making them cry is pretty easy to do. So that was fun, though.
So you're an asshole.
A lot of the time, yes. Yeah. Yes. I really enjoy picking on them. But yeah, it's been a couple really, really busy few weeks, but we have a lot of fun stuff. By taking a week off, we have a lot of new content to cover, so that's pretty cool.
We do.
Yeah.
Tons of things have happened that we can talk about, and some good reviews, and maybe some other stuff.
Other things to talk about?
Secrets. Good. So what are we talking about? We're talking about G.I. Joe Cobra?
We've got some reviews for G.I. Joe Cobra. I wrote an article today. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Dead Space 2. We've got two separate reviews for the game. You guys have been playing it.
Yeah, I just finished single player today. Scott played a little multi and a little single, so we'll see how we feel about that.
We played a mind-boggling card game about Back to the Future that we're going to talk a little bit about.
Yes, that was good, though.
Some news / reviews about Champions Online.
Yeah.
A review for 007 Bloodstone from the unfortunately now closed studio.
Bizarre creations. Yeah.
And then we've got some discussion in Open Thread and some secrets.
Awesome. I'm excited.
So, do you guys want to dive into the news?
Let's do it.
So we really only we could talk about a lot more because tons happened in 2 weeks. But one of the things I want to bring up, it was kind of a funny story. It hit the web this week. I hate when people on podcasts or on like radio shows or TV say it was kind of a funny story. It really annoys me because I'm like, I will decide.
Yeah.
Like, it just sounds so cheesy. Like, it's kind of a funny story, guys. Let's riff on this one for a second. Google and Bing.
Whoa.
Google kind of nonchalantly realized that Bing, well, what they accuse them of is Bing is stealing Google search results and then posting it under the Bing search engine.
Okay.
And the reason they're accusing them of this is because they had this really rare disease that when people spelled it wrong, Google had an algorithm that ran, fixed the spelling, and then returned them the correct results.
Okay.
And Bing all of a sudden started returning the same results too, they noticed, because I'm sure they run comparisons between the two constantly. And they were like, that's weird. Why would Bing find the same? They're like, well, it's possible that maybe they hit the same algorithm and they, you know, maybe they figured out the same thing. They sent it the same place.
Yeah.
And then, so they were like, well, let's figure this out. So what they did is they made up just fake words, just like complete crap words that meant nothing.
Okay.
And then they related them to sites that had literally nothing to do with the string of letters that they typed into the search engine. And did that, and then saw what would happen on Bing. They waited to see if it would return the same results, and it did 4 times. Ouch. So they immediately outed and said, Bing's copying us, you know, they're dickheads, blah, 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 blah. You know, they shouldn't be doing it. Bing immediately fired back. This was all this week, like the past 2 days.
Yeah.
Bing immediately fired back and said, we absolutely did not steal from you. And basically what they're saying is that when people use IE Internet Explorer, they can opt in for click tracking, essentially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all anonymous and stuff, but they're saying that because of that, they're basically, they weigh that stuff into their Bing search engine. So if they're on Google and they're typing something in or something happens, that stuff gets weighed in. And by them testing this search engine in IE or whatever, that it must have sent that data, and that's where it came from. They're like, we absolutely don't steal from you. We don't need to steal from you. Why would we steal from you? And it's just been these two companies kind of firing back and forth at each other. But weirdly enough, out of all of this, Google is kind of the ones looking like whiners.
Really?
Yeah, they're just kind of, they sound really whiny about, you know.
It's interesting, though, because, like, I don't know. Like, the whole competition between search engines to me is just so, like, I understand Google, obviously, you know, it's become a part of our vocabulary. It's like, you know, when you say, no one says, oh, no, Bing that. It just sounds like.
But you could say that.
You could, but no one.
Scott uses. What do you use?
I use Google.
Do you use Google? Yeah. But I mean, I remember, honestly, I remember using Web Crawler. I remember using fucking.
We're getting a bunch of them in the Alta Vista.
Alta Vista, wow. Yeah.
That was one of the big ones.
So what, okay, as this is,
I mean, it's a $1 billion industry. Yeah. Like, I know you're saying, like, oh, who really cares about the certain, like, people do care because Google and
Bing are making
cash,
a ton of money. Obviously, people are just going to use whatever one returns the best results. So if Bing starts to surpass Google in 2 years, everyone's going to be using that. I don't think anyone has, like, a supreme loyalty, like, oh, no, I only use Web Crawler, I'm sorry. Like, that's
well,
all
thing
I
with,
use.
With the thing with, and Micah's kind of, like, proving my point in the chat room right now, is that Bing really isn't bad. Like, it works totally fine. Their image search is phenomenal. Their maps are really good. Like, it's really not a bad service at all, but it's all stigma, and they have to get over this idea that Google's the best, and Google's the always right, and Bing is just some new startup search engine. I mean, it's, like, they made that's scary, Micah. It should not be happening.
Yeah.
They made the point. Microsoft made the point. They're like, you know, we hire some of the brightest minds in the world to do this stuff, and they're right. It's not like Microsoft has like four old dudes sitting in the corner programming on an old, like, you know, TR-84, like trying to get this stuff to work. Like, they're young and they're extremely smart, you know, and
they're like, you know what would be brilliant? If we just took the search results from Google.
Yeah. And that's what Bing's point was, though. But they were just like, why would we, what's the point in that? Like, why would we do that?
And so then someone at Google is like typing things in like, white people stole my search results, and then it's like, autocorrects into Bing stole my search results.
So I don't know, the whole thing's just kind of funny to watch these like billion dollar companies, you know, scuffle over search results and who's better than who. You know, I mean, obviously they both got their opinions, but the whole thing just makes me laugh.
It's funny. I vividly remember actually using Google for the first time and feeling weird typing it in. Like, what is this?
It was just white. It's just like a white screen with a search box, and you're like, this is so weird.
And then slowly that made sense because you want that to be fast and just streamlined and clean. Mm-hmm. And now so many other sites are kind of ripping off that simplicity. Which is cool. Like, I remember Ask Jeeves.
Yeah.
I think that's still a thing.
Is it really?
You can still ask Jeeves about things, but.
Yeah, you can still ask Jeeves.
But you can ask Google things, too. I mean, I ask Google questions all the time.
You know what's funny, though, is that Google. We're getting way off tangent here, but Google has not. I mean, they are good at answering questions, but they haven't actually, like, perfected that algorithm on how to handle people asking questions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're still not. It's not like a perfect one to one thing. Like, if you type like if you were looking up a site about, you know, I don't know, Logitech webcams, and you wrote Logitech webcam, and then just put it in there, or you asked, you like, what Logitech webcams are there? It would return essentially the same results, probably, but it's handling the other one better than it does the question form. It's weird.
I like how you can just type in define, colon, and then whatever, and it'll define whatever you want.
All their little hacky things are amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool
You can
ones.
Type in certain sites and hit colon, and it'll do a search on
the site.
Oh,
really? That's cool.
So if you type Amazon colon, I think Amazon's one of them, it just pulls indexes from Amazon.
That's cool.
But yeah, so that's that was the only little bit of news that I thought.
Cool.
You guys have anything to
I have a little piece of news about what you can do with some cold medicine and a little free time.
Whoa. Let's hear about this.
You can get balls, or what is it? You can trip balls.
For our listeners, I'm going to do the thing where I point my index finger and my middle finger at my eyes, and then I point them back at your eyes.
Whoa.
And I'm going to say that all, and I mean all, of my scores in Doritos Crash Course are safe. I went back and broke all the records. All of them.
Man, that is what you did when you were sick?
I saw you in the game. I was like, he's going after
everybody. I beat some of them by like a half a second and some of them by like 5 seconds.
I'm starting to feel like that game is totally random chance though. Oh, because sure. Like there are times where I would just nail everything perfect and then destroy your score.
Some of it was like I went back and I took care of business. And
I was really hoping we were going to have a podcast where we didn't talk about Doritos just because, like, ever since freaking Giant Bomb found that game, I felt like it's plagued me because I'm so fucking terrible.
I feel like I'm opening up the floodgates. But
fine. It just means that next week I'm going to go back on and beat all your scores.
It was a proud accomplishment.
I looked back and looked, and I hadn't done the last, I think, 2 levels in Japan yet. Was the 2?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the thing that is interesting is that last level in Japan, I barely cleared the gold time, and I was, like, ranked at 4,000.
Wow.
So that means nobody...
some of those times are just...
That means, like, nobody is completing that last course. But I just really had to get that in there. That's what I did when I was sick last week, is I played Doritos Crash Course.
Wow. That's amazing. Because some of my scores, I beat you by, like,
I know, you were like, I beat you by 5 seconds, and then I beat you by 5 seconds. So we're really, like...
Yeah.
Man. Intensifying the competition.
Man, you guys need to do like a live, like 2 Xbox setups side by side, and we'll do like a king of. Like,
yeah, but you also remember Scott's doing this on a glorious 42-inch high def LCD TV. I'm beating him on a 27-inch tube TV right
ahead.
Now.
I can see further ahead. Where
I got
going.
Nothing. I got this tiny little spot I'm running across the screen on. I would love to say my avatar's better than yours, though.
Right? Yeah. Ooh. Oh, of course.
Yeah, your avatar is disgusting. For those that don't know, Matt likes to make his Xbox Live avatar the most disgusting. Like,
look him up, Matt History.
Yeah, you're gonna get a few requests from strange young children now.
Be my friend, Matt.
So yeah, other news. I this is totally on the fly. You guys are
We didn't write any.
So there recently, just the past few days, Anycool News and a couple other sites released high-res screenshots of Captain America.
Yes.
And I have to say, it looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it does.
It really, really does. It looks really good. And I haven't been excited about a movie in a really long time, which is sad. Because I used to love going to the movies. And Derek's in here. I used to go to the movies. Literally, Derek and I would have a date almost every Friday. And we would go to the movies together. And I would cut a hole in the bottom of popcorn. And then we would, you know... Eat
popcorn out of both sides of the bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Extra butter.
Exactly, if you know what I mean. But yeah, so in recent years, I just haven't been going as frequently.
It's your wife's fault. Let's just all be honest here. Wives ruin lives.
You can put that on a bumper sticker.
Wives ruin lives? There you go.
Can you?
Wives ruin lives, new appropriate. I'm really excited about Captain America, and I just read some Avengers news. They're casting for the role of the Wasp, it looks like. And so I'm pretty excited.
Oh, is that what they said there?
Yeah, it's like a couple, Mary Elizabeth Winstead and Colby Smothers from the How I Met Your Mother.
So it's just a big Ash boner, is what it is.
Yeah, I can't say if anybody actually got that role that's in the running for it, I'd probably be pretty happy. So,
also, in related news, we talked about the nastiness that came from the X-Men pictures that got released.
Man.
That really bad Photoshop.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody saw, like, a day later they released official photos, like, immediately. They're just like, here's a bunch of official photos!
Yeah.
And it was all actual screenshots, and the director got interviewed by, I think, Slash Film, and was just like, I don't know what the fuck that came from. He's like, some marketing guy screwed up and released a really bad Photoshop, and that's not what the movie's about, so we wanted to get stuff out as quick as we could.
Yeah, it was really, like...
What is the next X-Men movie supposed to be?
It's called X-Men First Class.
First Class
is pretty
summer.
Cool everything.
And actually, it looks really good. And the I mean, as an X-Men fan, there's no sort of like actual continuity or anything
it.
It's like the First Class is bizarre. It's like Havoc.
Yeah.
And like, there's no
they
Cyclops.
Mix a bunch of characters.
Yeah, there's no Jean.
But then
there's,
like, the Ice Queen is in
there. Yeah, there's Emma. And it's just a very, like, it's a random kind of hodgepodge of mutants as the First Class.
Yeah.
And also, it's before Charles is crippled, So James McAvoy is playing Charles Xavier, okay. but he's running around on 2 feet, like mind blasting people, like doing jump kicks and shit. okay. So it's like a very loose interpretation of the early years of the X-Men.
Sure, okay.
So we'll see.
But it should be fun. I think it'll be pretty good.
But supposedly, while we're talking about comic book movie news, Darren Aronofsky is doing the next Wolverine, which is fucking crazy.
Yes.
That's because of his relationship with Hugh Jackman from The Fountain, which you just watched. And you had kind of a love-hate relationship with The Fountain. But he is definitely...
love-hate relationship?
Or maybe a hate-hate?
Oh, it was just...
It's a beautiful looking
it's
movie.
It's gorgeous, yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful looking movie. Yeah, the movie is just like a ball of poop wrapped around a foil full of poop.
I never actually watched it. I had it on. It was one of those I had on in the background and kind of just looked at it on occasion and was like, what? And left it up. But
I think the way I put it was, it's all the confusion of Pi with none of the style.
Mm.
What if you could live forever?
Yes, The Fountain. So, one thing you can't argue about, though, is that Aronofsky is a phenomenal director.
He is. I mean, yeah.
He really is. And giving him a license like Wolverine... Do you think
it's going to be like a Sam Raimi Spider-Man kind of thing?
I think so. I think when you have a director with that much like raw talent, as long as you have like a really fun, like great script, you can mess it up. But
yeah.
The fact that they gave Sam Raimi Spider-Man and it did so well was just like, what, you know, some studio head somewhere must have just been a Raimi fan when he was a kid or something.
Well, you know what I didn't know? He did Simple Plan.
Yeah, he did.
And that is like a brilliant fucking movie. That movie is fantastic.
Yeah.
And that was pre-Spider-Man by a few years. Yeah. So I think he had sort of started proving himself. The fact that he handed that much money in one shot, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But
so now, I don't even know what Raimi's... Oh, Raimi's working on the Oz movie, so...
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll see. A lot of awesome comic book stuff coming out. It's definitely this year and the next year are going to be the biggest comic book movie years, I think, in history. There is
way too much coming out.
A shit ton coming out.
There's way too much coming out. It's just kind of ridiculous how much stuff is about to hit.
Yeah.
The old thing. What's up? What?
I see you.
I'm just hanging out. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Just hanging out.
So what else we got going on? News-wise, what we got?
I think that was it.
Kind of
off
news?
The cuff in it. So.
Good. Yeah. Good. Well, that was it. So, are we going to do the...
Let's do it.
Are we going to drop the bomb? All right. So, for
the
those
bomb.
That are...
I think everybody knows what's coming.
Drop the bomb. I don't actually... I think Chris might. Because I'm very told. But for those that are in here, we're super excited. I think I'm actually the most excited
of all. So, here's the thing. We don't want you to get booted out of the chat room. So, everybody, open up a new tab.
Yes. Yes.
And your computer.
A new tab. Not the soda. You don't need one of those.
Open up a new tab in your web browser. I will say Chrome or Firefox will do you a lot better. IE is going to look like shit. I don't really care about IE, so I don't really do anything with it.
Yeah.
It works.
If any of you guys use IE,
leave.
Please. Yes.
I don't want you here anymore.
That's pretty mean.
Safari should be all right. I don't know that I actually looked at
WebKit.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
So go ahead, open up a new tab. Type in Nerdapropria. Don't hit enter yet.
I got to do this too. Hold on a minute.
Ash's computer's from 1994,
it is.
So we'll see if this thing works.
It is. And I'm using ye olde Firefox version 2.
Well, it might not be that hot then.
Alright.
I'm ready.
Go ahead, hit enter, and see the new nerdappropriate.com.
Hooray!
Ba-ba. Yay!
Man,
I'm already logged in.
What? How am I logged in? That's space.
Cookies, man. Cookies.
I didn't look at it in Opera either. So, you guys who come to the site all the time, you read, please fucking share if you run across any bugs or anything weird happens. The audio player doesn't work in Firefox yet. That's coming really soon. Right now it just works in Chrome and probably Safari.
Okay.
But yeah, please let me know. I hope you guys like it. We did a bunch of tweaks to make everything kind of stand out a little bit more. We've got featured stories. The podcast is always going to be sitting at the top. List of all the topics now. You can pull down a list of topics and go through whatever. You can click podcasts to go back through all the old ones. Our actual Twitter feed and our Facebook are hooked up on the top. Different kind of Facebook login on the side there, so you know, it shows different stuff. It'll actually show you what your friends are sharing and doing.
Pretty awesome.
On the site.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It looks fucking awesome, but the fact that you can browse by category now is a big change, so you can go back and look at all the articles about comedy or comics or whatever editorial games, interviews, all that kind of stuff. And there's always going to be five featured articles up at the top, and that's that bar there. You can see the Comics Confessional, Comic-Con tickets, and that Abby Heppy interview. And then we can tweak those out to be articles that are either the most popular or ones that we want to feature at any time. So it's going to be a lot easier to look at and to manage without having to go back and, you know, go
pages and pages. And this is, we wanted to launch tonight, or actually I wanted to launch tonight because I wanted to get it out there. I've been tired of sitting on this. I've been working on it. This is part of what I was slammed with in January, was getting this moving and working correctly. But more so, this is going to be somewhat a work in progress. So if there's stuff that everybody wants, just, you know, shoot an email to me or, you know, hit me up somehow, and we'll keep adding and making it better and better and better until everybody's
day jobs.
Loving it.
I know Chris said he's jailbait. There's a jailbait section. That's what we need. Chris is writing something for us soon, and I urged, you know, the other guys in here to write stuff. Because, you know, I mean, all of us still have very full-time jobs, and we come home from work, and then we do this, and... you know, we have a lot of fun doing this, and we're, you know, really, really enjoying it. We want to kind of share the love. So if you guys want to write stuff and have other people read it, you know, we have, like, I don't know, in January we had thousands of people hit the site, right?
Yeah, our numbers have been slowly growing at a good rate, at a good clip. So
which is good, yeah. So
we're not doing too bad on the writing side, on the site side. So
good.
Yeah, definitely. Again, all our emails are in the About section, I think, right now. Let me make sure of that. So feel free, and we'll make the About section. We're going to jazz that up a little bit, get some more content in there.
Fancify it.
But drop any one of us an email if you've got a story idea, and we'll go with it and start getting some more people in involved.
I guess I can close down the old site, huh?
Well, you'll be logged out of your chat.
Everybody's
chatting in there right now.
Don't want to do that. Well, good.
So yeah, that's the biggest news. I think that's the biggest thing we've been doing, is getting this site ready to go.
We've got
a ton more interviews with I think some awesome people coming up.
Well, let's just tell them.
You want to talk
about
it?
Let's tell them. You posted it in the show notes, actually.
Yeah, it's in the show notes
on this page.
We'll just we'll tell the guys that are in here, because some of them they may not even give a shit. So we'll just tell them anyway. So you go ahead. You start with the one you just got, because that's pretty cool.
I just got, just nailed down, we're going to be interviewing Anamana Gucci, which is the band that did the soundtrack for the Scott Pilgrim game.
Mm-hmm.
They're like what is it called? Chiptune?
Chiptune band.
They use an old Nintendo to do like 90% of their music, and it sounds awesome. We love it. They do the theme for the Nerdist podcast.
Which is awesome.
So we are actually, this is unconfirmed, so I'm going to be paused for editing, because I'll cut it out.
Okay.
But everybody in here can hear. We should be getting, you know, some photo stuff. We're going to get a song that we can stream for free on the site that everybody can listen to. You know, tour info and all that kind of stuff. But that should be coming back hopefully pretty soon.
I'm very excited about that
one. We got that one.
I was jamming out with that one at work the other day.
I love Anamana Gucci. Honestly, like, I discovered them, I don't know, it was a little while ago, and just fell in love with it, like, immediately. And then I kind of forgot about them for a little bit. And then I started listening to Nerdist podcast, and I was like, who the hell does his theme? And I guess everybody asks him that.
Yeah.
They just did an episode where they just talked about, like, stuff. Like, they didn't interview him. And they said, they're like, Anamana Gucci, it comes from this album. They're like, everybody asks us this question. So I'm really stoked to get them on this.
And then the Scott Pilgrim game soundtrack is, like, amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I listen to it at work all the time. So that's a big one. I'm really excited
about
that.
Yeah, yeah. That one's coming probably, I would say, probably end of February, we're assuming.
I'm assuming, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
Whoa.
I'm waiting for them to...
so excited, I almost flipped the table.
To get that.
Yeah!
Excitement!
Rawberry! what else we have? So we have... it'll be up this week. For anybody that's listening that's a fan of the Guild, we did an interview with Amy Okuda from the Guild, who plays Tink on the Guild.
On the Guild
a lot. We finished the interview with her. It went really well. It's a really funny interview. She has a lot of insight in how the Guild was made and how it went from being essentially run out of someone's house to being a $1 million Xbox sponsored show, the very first show to ever get picked up as official content for Xbox. So the interview is really good, really insightful about how to kind of you know, go from nothing to do a really DIY successful
yeah.
sort of.
Yeah.
And even though she's not like the creator of the guild, she is obviously one of the six members of the guild.
So tight, though,
yeah, they're very close, and so she has a lot to say about Felicia Day and the rest of the guild, and that's just a fun one. And let's see what else. Oh, so we have we finished another one that'll be out in about 2 weeks. It's already done and finished, but we're just kind of trying to pace them a little bit. I did an interview with someone I've had, I'm not going to lie, my wife's going to hate me, but someone I've had a crush on for like half of my life, it feels like. The model / actress who is the actual model for Jill Valentine.
The master of unlocking.
The master of unlocking. The actual model for Jill Valentine. We contacted her, and she was just in a movie in 09 and 010 called Bitch Slap. And her name is Julia Voth, and we did an interview with her. And it turned out really good. She was really, really friendly and really cool. And so we'll have some stuff about Resident Evil, about how she was cast, about how she moved from Canada to Japan when she was 14, and how Capcom basically found her in the street.
Wow.
And about how she would love to play Jill Valentine in a movie, and just about her life and experiences.
That's awesome.
Stuff about Bitch Slap, working with, you know, some really, really talented folks. So... really, really excited about that one.
Awesome.
And what else?
The Pact.
Oh, The Pact. Yeah, yeah. We got contacted actually just randomly by Nicholas McCarthy, who's the director of The Pact. Kind of found us just on a fluke because we were... Well, I was...
You wrote something about it, didn't you?
I wrote something about The Pact because Jewel State's in it. And I'm a big Jewel State fan from Firefly. And I wrote something about Jewel State and The Pact because I saw that it was going to be... at Sundance, and I was like, well, what is this movie? It looks like a really creepy ass horror movie. And I'm like, I love really, really sort of dark Dario Argento style, just, you know, twisted, strange movies. That's kind of what I grew up on. And so I got this email from him, and I talked to him for a bit back and forth, and then I talked to him, and he actually sent us a screener copy of the movie. And I watched it. It was really good, really, really solid, very, very well done. Scary as hell. Like, it's not like your typical, like, it's not a jump scare movie. It's very just atmospheric. It's very atmospheric. Huh. So, like, so quiet that you're afraid that something is going to happen fucking second.
Yeah.
Like, one of those that just kind of makes the hair on your arm stand up and you don't really know why it's happening.
Right.
So, we're going to talk to him and have a little interview about his experience because he just got back from Sundance. Where it premiered literally last week, so we'll talk to him, and pretty exciting stuff. So that's that. February is going to be fucking jam packed full of interesting content, and of course we're going to be covering the releases of what do we have? We have Marvel vs. Capcom 3 coming
out.
Tons
of games, yeah.
Bulletstorm,
and then there's I just read that there's a Dragon Age 2 demo that drops on February 22nd. Which will, if you play the demo, has a dwarven sword that unlocks in the full game.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
I love they're doing all that unlockable stuff. Well, excellent. So, yeah, we're very excited. And, you know, the more you guys spread the news, the happier we are. So
the happier we are.
The happier we are. So
just keep spreading it.
Yeah. Tell your friends. Tell your wives.
Hide your kids.
Hide your wives. All right, so we're going to start with some reviews. Enough with news. On to reviews. I think we're going to start, Matt, unless you're doing something, we can start off with this.
Yeah, no, I'm just, you know, I checked out of your talk.
All right. So it happens.
I stopped paying attention hours ago.
Trust me, I get ignored for a living, so.
I was very bothered by the fact that Scott didn't have a featured image for his Dead Space article,
image.
So.
Probably the most visual article that we have
yes.
is the one that has no picture.
Now it does. Now it does.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go first. One of the articles I wrote after my long spree of no articles was a review for a comic book called G.I. Joe Cobra. G.I. Joe Cobra, if no one read the article yet, or even if you haven't, now I'm going to talk about it. It's a take on the G.I. Joe world with basically kind of whatever the writer wanted to do. Like, I saw an interview with him, and he was talking about how they went to Hasbro, and they said, look, you know, we're happy to do this story. You know, we want to do a new G.I. Joe story, but I don't want to have to do anything. Like, I won't have to do anything with, you know, what the world already is or who knows who or anything like that. I want to be able to do whatever I want with the world. And the writer said, sure, go ahead. So he took this character, which, and I was a gigantic G.I. Joe fan, and I literally just had to look him up today when we were talking about it. They took this character named Chuckles, who
was
in the cartoon.
He was in the movie.
In the movie.
Yeah.
And they made him a triple, or an agent, double agent. And he, like, goes into Cobra and, like, infiltrates it, tries to take it over. And, or not take it over, he just infiltrates it. He's trying to, like, work his way in it. And basically, Cobra finds out that he's G.I. Joe. And the first thing that you know this series is going to be different, I'm just going to... if we'll just spoiler alert now. I'm going to talk about spoilers for the rest of the review. So if you don't want to hear spoilers for this book, I'll warn you before I say anything spoilery. How's that?
Okay.
So spoiler number one, the second issue, he shoots Jinx, the red ninja, in the face.
Oh, I love Jinx.
Wow.
Like, immediately. And, like, you literally... I think it's the first or second issue. You're reading and he, like, walks... there. Tomax and Zaymot have, like, brought him in and they're, like, training him under this, like, sub company for Cobra. It's, like, not Cobra. He's working for, like, an oil company or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring him, they're, like, training him. They're like, oh, well, if you really want to be part of the inside, you know, you have to come take care of some business for us. And they bring him in a room and he walks in and it's Jinx. And he's just, like, sitting there and her eyes get kind of, like, big and look at him, but she knows he's undercover. So they both just kind of sit there for a second and he goes, well, if, like, basically in his head, he's like, if somebody's gonna kill her, I better prove myself. And, like, they're calling his bluff because they know he's G.I. Joe. They're trying not to get him killed. He grabs the gun and shoots her in the face.
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Immediately. Right. So, spoiler over. That's
yes,
the first spoiler.
That's crazy.
It's insane. And that just continues to go on for the rest of the books. And it's all about him, like, getting programmed by Cobra and, like, whether he's gonna break out or not. You really don't know what's happening through the whole thing. Tomax and Zaymot are big characters in this one, and so is Cobra. They're kind of like his right-hand men. So all this is happening, and then spoiler number two, so stop, because this is the massive one. If you read this last issue, he's sitting in a room with Cobra, and I can't remember if it's Zaymot or Tomax, but one of them comes running in, he's gone rogue, and he runs in the room, and he's like, oh, blah, 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 you know, Chuckles has gone nuts, he's gone rogue, he's killing everybody in Cobra, which is actually what Tomax had been doing. And Cobra's like, well, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
And he's like, what, why would you not believe me? Like, he's a Joe, why would you believe him over me? And he, like, points to his right, and Chuckles pulls the Crimson Guard helmet off, and he's there, he's in the room. So Cobra's like, you know what, I'm done with this. Cobra Commander's like, I'm done with this. You know, take him out, Chuckles, and gives him a gun. And then Chuckles picks up the gun, aims it, and all you see is him aiming the gun, and then he goes, yo, Joe. And then the next screen is Cobra, like, looking shocked without his face, but
yeah,
looking shocked, and he just says, what? And then the next thing is a 2-page spread of Cobra Commander getting shot in the face.
Oh,
that's amazing.
It's like, it's just, they just don't care. They're just killing anyone, and they said from the beginning, we will kill whoever we feel like killing in the story to do what we want to do with this. And it's totally, they're saying that this is not G.I. Joe, like, this world is living on its own kind,
yeah,
of,
like, it's sort of like
path.
When they did, like, they rebooted X-Men.
But it is so fucking good. It is, like, such a great story. It's written for adults. It's not written for kids. Like, they're not, like, everything, it's a great, just, like,
And the guns fire bullets.
Yes.
Not lasers.
Exactly. It's a great,
That's nice.
I would compare it to, like, Bourne Identity.
Oh, really?
Like, that kind of just, like, thrillery action story, like,
oh,
all
cool,
the way through front to back. And this is I brought the book here. I'm gonna show the spoiler because it's,
yeah,
do an it, awesome frame.
Put it up the old screen.
So you know, turn away if you don't. Spoiler again.
Spoiler alert.
But that, ooh,
blam.
That would be Cobra Commander getting his, I can't get that without light. That would be Cobra Commander getting his brain blown in. So it's pretty ridiculous.
That's pretty awesome.
So
who's gonna lead Cobra? Oh,
I don't
wait,
know that. Did I just break it? I totally just broke it, didn't I?
What happened?
We're still on.
We're
just
still
refresh. Or no, I have to restart it.
Hold on.
Ah, motherfuck.
All right.
Technical difficulties.
And we gained a viewer from the technical difficulties.
And then we lost like two, and then one came back.
Watch
and
there's commercials.
They're like, not looking at watching this
show. Sorry, everybody. Yeah. I moved, and then the camera didn't like it. The camera turned off, and then everything just died immediately.
We lost a lot of viewers. Boom.
Who cares?
All right.
So, yes, G.I. Joe Cobra, go buy it. I linked to a trade paperback in the article I wrote today, or in the review I wrote. So if anybody's interested in just picking up the first one and getting through that, just go to the website, click on it. It'll take you to the Amazon site and let you get it. But it is an awesome story. I don't know where we cut out, but basically I compared it to kind of like Bourne Identity, sort of. It's, oh my Jesus Christ, I'm going to lose it in a moment.
Did it just break again?
Yes.
What happened? I'm so scared. All right. Let's not talk about G.I. Joe, because every time you say G.I. Joe...
I know, seriously. I'm afraid it's going to cut out again.
So, Scott and I... are you guys there? Good. Okay, so Scott and I, we are going to co... Oh, hold on.
I paused it. I don't know what to say. All
right. Take two. So, Scott and I are going to co-review a game that a lot of you guys are playing, and some of you are not, but a lot of you guys are, I know, Dead Space 2. And Dead Space 2 was probably the biggest release in January. One of the only releases in January. So, I was pretty impressed. Why don't we start with the multiplayer?
I would love it if that was your review. I was pretty impressed.
Oh, yeah. Let's start with the multiplayer, and then I'll dive into the single player, and we can really...
Let me start by saying this. I was going to write a review of the multiplayer for the site, and I think I was just going to write something to the effect of, it's a game mode on the disc that you can access from the main menu. And then just leave it at that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's how little you cared for it.
That's, yeah, pretty much.
All right, so my questions are this.
Let's talk about it.
All right, yeah, let's.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay, from what I understand, I haven't played it yet. I've been waiting. I waited until I beat the campaign, which is what I always do.
Yep.
And I beat the campaign, like, literally before I got here.
Okay.
So I'm eager to play the multiplayer.
Okay.
And you trust me, your opinions aren't going to sway mine.
No, that's fine. No, I understand.
Trust me, your opinions have no bearing on me.
They are not important.
No.
Non-influential.
But what I was going to ask is, okay, so the way it's set up, I know it's 8 players.
Yes.
I know four people play, you don't play as engineers like Isaac, you play as I don't want to say Marines, but you play as like the security force.
Yes.
That existed on the Sprawl, right. Essentially. Okay, so you play as four security force members that exist on the Sprawl, and then the other four players in the 8-player match play as the Necromorphs.
Right.
And there's a variety of different Necromorphs that you can choose from.
Sure.
So that, to me, already, that sounds fucking great.
But sure.
So I'm going to continue. So
okay.
Beyond that, there is a level progression and a skill progression. So you can put points in almost like get perks and things like that,
of course.
In Call of Duty.
Yep,
yes. Of course, yes.
Right.
So, with that being said, that sounds like grounds for a lot of fun. Now, what do you have to say?
It's exactly what you would expect, though.
Really?
And nothing more. You know what I mean? Like, we've seen this before. Like, this is like the new hotness. Well, okay, let's back up a step. The new hotness is to add multiplayer to your game, even if it doesn't need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. Second thing that's popular right now is to have this kind of, like, leveling system where like the levels unlock perks and abilities. This is like, we saw this in Transformers, we saw this in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, we see in this game, right? Great. You know, like, I'll play for 35 hours, I'll finally get to unlock something useful, and great, it'll be awesome.
What do you want from it, man?
I don't know what you want from it. I don't want it. That's the thing.
Why can't you just enjoy it?
What do we like about Dead Space? Dead Space is scary.
Yeah.
Right? It looks
cool. I'm not a kindergartner.
You know?
It's
a scary game. It looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's environments to explore. You know, like, there's a story to uncover. Right?
Sort of.
You get none of that in multiplayer.
Yeah.
Right? So all of the things you like about Dead Space are just distilled down to, like, the lowest common denominator of all these games.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that being said, you know, yeah, sure, it's fun and you can play it, but like, there are other games you can play that do this as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand. But so we were talking before we started the podcast, and I was like, yeah, it'd be great. We should set up a night, and everybody that has the game that we know, we should get in and just do an 8-player match.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, well, that would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So why the change of heart, so to speak?
Well, the other problem that seems to be common to these multiplayer games is when you go online and play with people, like, they just don't get it. You know what I mean? All they want to do is level up. They don't really care about, like, playing the game. So, okay, yes, there are things to do in the game other than just running around and shooting people, but a lot of players online only understand that one facet of multiplayer gaming, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you've ever played any of the recent Battlefield games online, like, a lot of these games have modes where, you know, your team has a series of objectives to complete,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you're supposed to push up with your team or defend spaces with your team, and then, like, that's kind of the game
you
play, right? And that's fun, you know? Like, that's fun in this game, and it's fun in Battlefield, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, and this is not unique to this game, is that a lot of people just get online, and they just want to shoot you.
Yeah.
Right? So even if they don't care if their team wins, like, the round or loses the round, and honestly, you can rack up more points just by getting kills anyways. So if the, like, let's say if the global objective of multiplayer is to level up as quickly as possible,
mm-hmm.
and then the local objective only gets you, like, so many hundreds of points for doing it, then why do it? So the reason why I said that it would be fun for all of us to get online and play together is because we would all actually work towards those objectives.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's, like, a mode in the game where, like, the security forces are trying to put together, you know, trying to unlock a series of doors or put together, like, some kind of security device to, like, to get rid of the necromorphs or whatever. And usually, like, I'm the only person doing that, you know? So I'll run and get the item. The item slows me down, so I'm, like, lugging it and trying to shoot the bad guys. But then, like, everyone else is still just doing the whole typical deathmatch maneuver, and it's kind of a letdown.
Well, that's interesting. And that's a problem with multiplayer, like you said, across the board.
Yeah.
A lot of times when they do have complicated objectives, a lot of players aren't going to care, and they are just going to want to shoot, which is really unfortunate, because a lot of, like, for instance, you reviewed the Assassin's Creed multiplayer also,
mm-hmm.
and Assassin's Creed multiplayer is not your typical everyday run-of-the-mill multiplayer.
Right.
It's not all about kill. It's about stealth and cunning and all those sort of things, and it doesn't have a popular fan base because it's not fast-paced.
And then you
enough.
Still see a couple of jackasses just
running
the game, running across the building,
sprinting,
standing on top of the rooftops, and you're like, that's not the point.
It's
at
not
all.
The point.
You
yeah.
miss the point.
Yeah. So, okay, one other question. I heard that there are unique guns that the security force uses that aren't in the single-player game. Is this, in fact, true?
If there are, I didn't really see them, only because I think the game rewards you for dismemberment.
Okay.
So, like, generally, you always start with the plasma cutter.
Okay.
So, like, I always like to use a plasma cutter.
Yeah.
And I think compared to, you know, the weapon that's kind of, like, more like an assault rifle, like, the plasma cutter is a more useful weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you start out with either the assault rifle gun or the plasma cutter.
Mm-hmm.
So, using the plasma cutter will net you more points. And I think it's like a more efficient killing tool anyways.
Mm. I beg to differ.
Oh, okay, there are other weapons, yeah.
No, just because I'm the jackass that in my playthrough I just leveled up my pulse rifle all the fucking way.
Oh, really?
And it is a bad hombre.
That's
it has
awesome.
A clip of like 200 fucking rounds.
Okay, that's impressive.
And you just kind of go like, you go like Space Marine with it and just, you know, scream at the TV. So
well, I mean, we talked about this before, that I'm a purist of these games, so like, I always roll with the first weapon you get, and then
try
to make it the best weapon in the game.
You're the one who really, was pushing me to do the old plasma cutter run through of one. But one almost made me pull my foot.
Well, there's
face
an achievement
off.
in Dead Space.
Face off?
Oh, I was one was so infinitely hard. I just don't like. I don't know what was wrong with me, but Dead Space 1, I was just like, it was insanely difficult.
There was an achievement in Dead Space 1. That you would unlock, but only by using just the plasma cutter throughout the entire game.
Oh, really?
And I thought that it wasn't impossible, because if you sold everything else and you sold all your other ammo to just buy power nodes and ammo for that gun, it actually did get you pretty far.
Yeah.
In the game, and it wasn't that bad. But the last thing I want to say about the Dead Space 2 multiplayer, and I didn't play it for too long, but the thing that really kind of bummed me out for a second is that I'm pretty sure the Necromorphs speak like English. What? Or at least something you can understand.
Really?
Yeah, and I was kind of like, why do they talk at all?
Like, or they're like, what's up, man?
They're like, you know, we need to get them or something. You know, it's like, who cares? Like, don't, I don't want them to talk. Really? And when you, like, the other thing is that the font that that side uses, like, the rest of the game is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of got, like, that future space.
Papyrus, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost. it's almost like a weird, like...
Damn sans serif.
Like you're writing with your offhand, you know, like the children kind of scribble.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, as if the Necromorphs came in and wrote their own names, like, on the board, you know, like that.
So you see the Necromorph's name font?
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, like, when you go to select the character, there's, like, this, like, you know, weird...
But when you, like, let's just say, like, there's a Necromorph running at you. Is it a fucking Necromorph, or is a Necromorph, like, named, like, Butt Plug?
I think it says butt plug. I can't remember.
It says butt plug.
It's horrible.
But anyways, the punchline for me is that if we all get online and play and do the objectives like together and have a good time, it'll be great.
Yeah,
you know?
It's always better with friends. So, like I said, I just completed a single player campaign.
Okay.
How far are you? Because I don't want to reveal anything. And I know a couple guys in here are playing it and haven't beaten it all the way.
I think I'm on like chapter 6 or 7.
6 or 7. Somewhere. Okay, so I think there are 15 or 16 chapters this time.
Okay.
So I'm not going to get too far. But so the single player campaign so far, compared to Dead Space 1, is infinitely better for me.
That's what I've experienced.
Is in the design of the game itself, the actual gameplay, they didn't reinvent the wheel and make the game control completely differently. If you played through 1, you're going to be able to play through 2. All the buttons are the same. All the menus are the same. It is just a lot sleeker. Your character moves faster. The melee moves are easier to pull off. They're less clunky. There's less of a transition time between firing and doing melee moves.
Yeah.
So you can definitely, you can like freeze somebody, you know, slow them down with telekinesis or whatever the fuck it's called. Gun them down and then run up while they're still slowed and then stomp them and save ammo.
Yeah.
And you can go up and punch them and things
like that. That's a critical move to
learn. It really is. The combos you can pull off are great now.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, yeah.
At what point in the game did you realize that you were supposed to start shooting out windows?
I never shot out windows.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. But
no, I didn't.
I actually flipped through the achievements.
Yeah.
And the game actually gives an achievement for blowing so many necromorphs, like getting them sucked out of the airspace.
Yeah.
And I kind of realized that there might actually be points in the game where you're supposed to use that as a tactic.
Oh, there was one point where the room was completely just swarmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the little thing that you had to shoot to close the emergency shutters.
Yeah.
And so I blew the windows out just to save my ass. But it's scary, man, getting pulled out into space and the door closes on you. And
well, the first couple of times they give it to you for free. Like,
yeah.
You know, one of those guys with the big, like, exploding pus arm will walk up and you shoot him and the window blows out.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, I'm supposed to. But
they did a brilliant job of that. And not only are there's a lot of new enemies in the game.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was in the last game that I fucking hate because he exists in every single survival horror game. It's the enemy that doesn't die, the enemy that keeps respawning no matter how many times.
Are you talking about the bat?
No, well, I guess maybe he wasn't in
those
one.
Bats make me crazy.
Oh, those bats those are insane. But there's an enemy later on in the game that is essentially he's like a regenerator. And so you can shoot him with all your ammo, and he will always come back to life.
How do you get rid of him?
You have to use, like, environmental kills. So you have to either, like, run up and turn a jet engine on and burn him, or you have to, like, suck him out a window. But he is... It's insane, because you have to run. You have to... That's the tactic, running to survive. So that drives me crazy. He should be armed to the teeth with, like, a bazooka, and you can't kill this fucking thing. The new enemy design is great. There's a lot of really creepy... great things. The ending boss fight's very unique. They didn't go the same route as Dead Space 1 with the you know, the big super monster, which is the end boss of every single game. So it's different. It's a different sort of boss fight. Very unique.
Did you make liberal use of the environment in this game? Because I noticed that they gave you, like, there's a lot of those, like, little javelins everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
And there's actually useful stuff to use the telekinesis with.
No, right? I did.
And that really didn't exist in the last game.
Yeah, telekinesis worked much, much better.
Like, ripping the limbs off of the guys, like, throwing the spikes back at them and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I, honestly, when I finish it tonight, and you get some unlockables when you finish it, I instantly wanted to start playing it.
Oh, I already know I want to play it through again.
I just want to start from the beginning, and there's already, not to totally talk about something different, but there's already three or four DLC packs that are $3 or $4 that give you different versions of the guns and different versions of the suits. And I'm just like, I'm going to buy all of them and just have a field day.
Yeah.
And just run around with all this fun crap.
Not only that, but if you were to purchase this game on PlayStation 3, you would have gotten the Dead Space game for Wii for use with the PlayStation Move.
That is just... Not
and that
fair.
That game fucking rules.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's on Wii. It's fucking amazing. It's like one of the top two like Wii Zapper games.
Extraction is called.
Yeah, Extraction.
Yeah. So what else? So the story. I'm not going to spoil anything. I'll spoil the first 5 minutes. You're still Isaac. Isaac Clarke, of course, survives the first game. The thing that is phenomenal about this game that makes me love it is they give Isaac a voice. They give Isaac a personality. And they give him a fucking potty mouth. When you are fighting necromorphs, your character acts pretty much like you would act. Scared shitless and swearing up a storm. So, like, monsters are popping out at you and you are curb stomping them and screaming fuck, fuck, fuck. And trying to just get the hell out of there alive.
I don't know. Did you play this game the same way you played the first one? Because I actually changed my tactic between the two games.
How so?
Okay, so in the first game, I played scared the whole time. You know, I would walk down hallway. Like, I didn't move without the gun drawn. That's how paranoid I was. You know what I mean? And then in this game, like, I kind of play it more like, I don't know, like some weird, like, angry man at the survival horror movie. You know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah, you definitely, whether it's the way the character is designed this time, you feel like a bit more of a badass and a little bit less like a victim in this game.
Right, like Isaac's kind of pissed off at this point.
Yeah, he is. He's very pissed off and like he's used to this shit at this point. You know what I mean?
It's right, exactly.
Like, yeah,
exactly.
He's like, all right, I've been dealing with these things for the whole fucking first game. I know how to kill them. And then, you know, there does come a point, like around chapter 10, you'll sail through 10, 11, 12 and be the baddest motherfucker on the block.
Yeah.
Because you have all your guns already. You have, like, great armor. They have this it's called the retro engineer suit, I think. You get, like, around 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a 1930s dive belt suit. It's really bulky and
like
big.
Like BioShock or something?
You look exactly like a Big Daddy. I'm not even fucking kidding.
I wonder if that's a nod to
it. It probably is. It looks like a Big Daddy. It's a great suit.
I mean, because they essentially stole that from them.
Yes.
Like that game belongs to BioShock or to whoever. Like
the studio split.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
The Looking Glass. Yeah.
Yeah. Half of them did BioShock. Half of them did Dead Space. So they're old buddies. So I'm sure they do throwbacks to one another.
And now we have two phenomenal games.
Yeah. And that's one thing. Not to make this review 8 hours long. But,
yeah.
There's
too late.
I know. Yeah. Sorry. I'm just stoked to finally talk about it.
It's a great game.
I'm just kidding.
There's definite similarities between Rapture in BioShock and between The Sprawl and Dead Space 2. You can see a lot of parallels. One's this supposed to be utopian city on Mars, and one's supposed to be like a sunken dystopian city underneath the surface of the water. But they're very, very similar with the neon and the kind of retro vibe. It's really cool, though.
We also talked about this offline. This game, the environment is more similar to the environment of Dead Space 2. And you can do, like...
You just said Dead Space.
System Shock 2, I'm sorry. And what's cool about that is that you can do so much more with, like, a little colony than you can with, like, a derelict ship. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Dead Space 1 was all, like, broken down ship. Mm. The next environment looks like a broken down ship. You know, one there's like a mall, and then like that tram is still there. The
freaking daycare center.
Yeah,
have you gotten to the daycare
creepy
center?
Creepy kids. Yeah.
Why did I always put creepy kids?
Terrifying,
in games?
Man.
There's like, you know,
creepy kids that explode on you. It's
there's like a living quarters, and like the unitologists have a bigger presence.
Yeah.
It's just like you're
it's
like
great.
I'm totally stoked with like looking at environments in that game.
And the last thing I'll say, I keep forgetting her name, but they introduce a female protagonist in this game, a new female character. I don't know if you've hit her yet.
No, I don't think so.
You'll see her very soon.
Sure.
She becomes very, very important in the story. Her name's Ellie. And Ellie is the character that I equate her to the most in video games is probably, she's very Lara Croft in a good way. Not a cheesy, like, a cheesy way. She's a tough chick, but also vulnerable and just fucking awesome.
You think she'll be a playable character at some point?
Absolutely.
Future game or spinoff?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to say if she lives, but
sure.
I don't want to give that away. But I'm saying if she does live, she'll be playable. She's got a great character. Her and Isaac's chemistry, once they finally get to interact in the game, is awesome. The voice actors that played them did a great job because their dialogue's really believable towards one another. And it's a great little story. You feel like, when you beat it, you feel like, oh, it took place in 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. Like, from when Isaac...
Oh, when you look at your, like, playtime or whatever? Oh,
well, no, the actual playtime, I think mine was, like, 10.
Oh, okay.
But, like, if you were actually in the character's shoes, it was like, you're just fucking running.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're just running and then getting the fuck out, and that's it.
Yeah,
like,
that's
there's
amazing.
No, like, lapse in time there, so...
Yeah.
Definitely, if you were listening to this live, and you were like, why would I ever play a game like Dead Space... go pick up 1 and 2. 1's really cheap. You can actually download 1 now for, I think, $20 on Xbox Live. It's totally worth it. It's a hard fucking game. They're both really hard.
Much fun.
It is. It's very good. Definitely.
If anything, play 2 for the in-game cut sequences.
Oh my god.
Like, just insane. Something as mundane as tumbling down a vent shaft is amazing look at.
Absolutely. Just, crawling through the vents. It's a beautiful game. So check it out. Thanks for listening to our very long-winded review and rants. Matt's like, I don't give a shit.
Should we take a
break?
Haven't
played a minute of
should
it.
We take a break in the review? Oh, you want to keep going?
All right, let's do it.
All right, so the next thing up is we played 2 weeks ago now. We played
last week.
But we played a card game, which we've been doing a lot of tabletop gaming lately, I realized.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like almost weekly.
Bringing it back.
Doing something.
Game night.
But we played a card game called Back to the Future.
The card game.
And it was fun, I would say. Not to get directly into the review, but it was fun. It's basically a game where you set up a table of cards that are in like this grid. And each one of them has an identifier on it of some sort. And then you have cards in your hand, and as you play them, you affect the grid that's on the board.
It's a timeline.
Yeah, it's a timeline. And then as you flip, but it's not a timeline, because it's a Back to the Future timeline, so there's different time
Yeah,
points.
Timeline of events.
Yeah. So different events that can happen at the same time, and depending if you flip the correct events over for your character, because every one of us gets a unique character from the movies, then you get to go towards the end piece, which pretty much sees if... what's the...
You can uninvent time travel.
Yeah, you basically uninvent time travel so that your timeline is the correct one.
Yep.
So,
I like to think of it as, like, the scene where the characters are disappearing off of the photo.
Right.
Like, that's kind of what
you're...
Which
is one of the cards. Yeah. Completely mind-boggling at first. Like, literally all of us sat there playing it. Like, what is happening here? Like, what do I have to flip to do what? And there's colors and things you have to match and do, but... Then once you get it and you play it, you're like, oh, this is dead simple. It is the simplest just puzzle game, essentially, to try to get... Because everybody can affect the timeline, you can affect each other's timeline. So you're constantly like bouncing cards back and forth on the table between their 2 points to get them to line up the way you need them to line up so you can move forward towards the end. I think I already said this. We played it twice. I had a blast both times.
It took almost as long to set up the game board the first time as it did for us to play the game the second time.
Yeah, you did complain that you wish they had a board.
Yeah.
There's no board. It's
just
a bunch of cards.
I mean, obviously the reason...
But it's also $10.
Right. The game is like $10, and the guy that makes these games makes only card games, so I understand why it was released in this format.
Right.
But the timeline, as far as a game mechanic, could have been much better represented by like something physical, like a board with... you know, guess who flip pieces, or
right.
like even a board to hold the timeline pieces in place, because we're talking about a grid of about 30 cards and 4 people are trying to flip over cards on the table
right.
without like throwing them all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very, a little clunky, but the mechanics are solid. It's just that
yeah.
the actual gameplay, like
the physical
game
is clunky.
Yeah, physical gameplay
yeah.
is clunky.
I really enjoyed it.
Outing it, you guys are way bigger Back to the Future fans than I am. I mean, I enjoy the movie, obviously. But
yeah.
I don't have it memorized. Like, while we were playing, I didn't know who I was the entire time. I didn't know who any of the
I don't think a lot of those characters actually exist.
Yeah, you're not, like, characters from the movie. You would be, like, the son of a character.
Descendants of them.
Descendants.
I didn't know the names.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was, like, Ellie Fanning or something, and I was like, am I Dakota Fanning's sister? Like, I didn't know what was going on.
But, like you stated, the setup and the rules, they're insanely... It's like you're literally looking at, like, a physics booklet.
It feels like it at first.
Yeah, but then once... Okay, it's one of those games that you sit down and when you have your hands on it, then it starts to make sense.
Yeah.
Looking at the instructions, there's no fucking way. No. It would turn so many people away. Yeah. If I opened that and I wasn't with you guys, I would have just looked at it and been like, yeah, fuck that. And then I'd go play Xbox, because there's no way I'm going to spend 3 hours setting up all these fucking cards. You're, like, so much more patient with that stuff than I am. Mm-hmm. So once we got going, it was actually a lot of fun, and it was relatively fast-paced. I was originally thrown off by, like, the lack of art on the cards, but there is art on the other sides of some of the cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
although there's no real art to, I mean, there's pictures.
Like, yeah, there's like sketches.
But I'm saying there's no, yeah, like, it's not like the Resident Evil game where they're just pulling art pieces from the game and then redrawing.
Your enjoyment of this game comes primarily from your enjoyment of remembering things from Back to the Future, the movie, the trilogy.
I think also that we expected a deck builder somewhat. And it's not at all.
Oh, no, it's totally not a deck building game.
But
at
I think
all.
We, I don't know, because I expected
we
deck builder
a
little bit.
Yeah.
Because we had just played a couple, and I thought that's what you had said originally. And so I sat down going, like, well, how do we build the decks that we're playing?
Oh, no,
like,
no.
You just, it's like Uno almost. Like, you're just drawing cards off of a deck and then, like, playing them.
I would say that the tactics are very similar to Uno, where it's like you can kind of mess with your opponents, but not.
If Uno had lost time traveling involved.
Yeah.
Enough, There are multiple timelines, then it would be Uno with lost time.
I think so. That sounds about right. It's like not as involved as Munchkin and not anything like a deck builder like some of the previous games we've talked about.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a little more complicated than Uno, but you're like non-gamers can still play and enjoy the game.
Man, I would say though, like if we're, because we just played 3 card games in a row, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if I had to pick one for... And granted, this is not just because I'm not a huge... But I do like Back to the Future quite a bit. You guys like it a lot more than I do. If I had to pick a game based on nostalgia, it would have been that Resident Evil game. And if I had to pick a game on fun, it was that Ascension game.
Yeah, Ascension probably has the most polish of the 3 games that we played. And
Ascension
then
was a blast.
Resident Evil is, like, a little more complex. Like not.
It's way more complex. No, it is. Yeah. It's way more complex. But it was more fun to play through the Resident Evil universe. The Back to the Future just seemed like a mechanic for a card game.
Oh, absolutely.
It didn't really like. Feel like
in this card game, he actually has another time traveling card game that he modified to make this.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a little blurb in the directions, like if you've played this game, it's similar but not the same. Like.
Looney's a loony.
Yeah, and for those that are listening, the guy, Andrew Looney of Looney Labs, the creator of the card game. Has a ridiculous video that you can find on YouTube where he explains the mechanics of the game and like you can see his passion for it and like that alone combined with maybe the price that it's $10 is like
it's actually 13 on Amazon.
Yeah, to convince you to get it. It's enjoyable though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know.
Are there any reviews on Amazon?
I don't know.
You could probably go to
there's 4 reviews. It got 4 out of 5 stars. Somebody gave it a 1 though. I love reading the ones.
Ones are great.
I opened up the box. I opened the box where the cards have been. This game sucks. You can't figure out how to play it easily at all. The instructions don't help at all. It is absolutely awful.
The cards
smell
like
butter.
My husband
and I
both
have
master's degrees and can't play this game. Nerds obviously designed it. Horrible.
No stars.
Nerds obviously designed it. Horrible.
We have master's degrees. What the fuck?
Wait, there's follow-up. I taught this game to my 10-year-old brother and my 82-year-old grandmother and all the family in between. It's not hard. Trolls obviously wrote this post.
That is great. We have master's degrees. Nerds obviously made this game.
It's the only thing she's bought and rated on Amazon. Jennifer Menicello.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing,
Jennifer
Menicello.
You're a dirty bitch.
Allegedly. You gotta be careful, you guys.
Yes. Allegedly. Allegedly, you're a dirty bitch.
Alright, Ash, you played a game that I played at Comic-Con that has been out forever.
Yeah, so okay, in 2009, the guys, Cryptic Studios, who did City Heroes, which I think we all played, right? Did you play it, Scott?
No. I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I played it. I know Micah, who's in here, he played City Heroes quite a bit. And actually, back before I had my World of Warcraft guild, My World of Warcraft guild existed in City Heroes, and it's really one of the places where we got one of our big starts. And we love City Heroes. It was a fun little game. We didn't play for very long, maybe a couple months. And we, you know, maxed out our levels and did everything there was to do. And then we kind of, WoW came out and we just kind of lost it. We didn't play City Heroes anymore. So Cryptic came out with Champions Online. And Champions Online didn't really take off. It wasn't marketed very well. It wasn't advertised very well. And it wasn't a bad game. It was actually reviewed pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they decided that they were losing too many people and they were switching their entire formula. And so now the game, you can go and...
So is this what they were promoting in Comic-Con? Because that was what, 2010? And they had a big booth set up and I played it. They must have been promoting that they changed the game around and were releasing.
No, I think they were doing their first like big DLC push.
Oh, was that the DLC push?
Yeah, they were doing their big DLC push at Comic-Con 2010. Now what they did, literally just last week, so the first... Well, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be like February, so...
It is February, sir.
So it'll probably be, I want to say January 15th, January 20th, they announced that they're making the game completely free. Okay, so it's called the Champions Online Free For All. Now, the cool thing about it is you can download the game for free, literally for $0. It takes a couple hours. It's like a couple gigabytes. They have a really, really swift patching process. You only have to do one patch. It's not like when you download World of Warcraft and you have to patch for fucking 3 days.
Yeah. That's how Star Wars Galaxies was.
Yeah.
That's how every online game
is. It is ridiculous. Like, patching, and I'm not even exaggerating. Like, I did a fresh install of WoW on my wife's computer a couple weeks ago, and it was an all-day process, patching, you know, through years of patches. It was absurd. So the Champions has one big patch. So I got in and I wasn't expecting anything. And the reason, honestly, I wanted to try it, first of all, it was free. And second of all, I recently purchased DC Universe Online and I already kind of fell out of love for it.
Really?
That's
fast.
And it was because I felt that it was very, very grindy. DC was very, very grindy. The stories were all very, very contrived.
Mm.
And the whole system was not creative. The whole idea that you have like this mentor character and then you can go into the machine and play as Robin. It's like, I don't want to fucking play as Robin.
Nobody wants to play as Robin.
Or I don't want to play, I don't even want to play as Batman. I want to play as my fucking guy and I don't want to like be rewarded to play as Batman. It doesn't make any sense. And like, and so the thing about Champions that blew me away is literally there are so many options on how to build your character. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of options, like 5 dozen helmets. Like,
so did you see anything like yourself in the game?
No, absolutely not. That's the one thing. You'll never see another character like yourself at all. You can change everything from the height of your character, the musculature, the hair, the size, the breast size, the width of the chest, like the size of your calves, the size of your feet, your hands, your toes. And then the costume options are limitless.
Mm-hmm.
So, in all honesty, the only thing limiting character creation in the game is your imagination. Whatever you can possibly picture in your mind's eye, you can create on the screen in front of you. Which to me, as like a nerd who likes to draw stupid things and things like that, I spent 5-6 hours this week. I'd come up with
spend more time creating characters.
Yeah, I did. I would build crazy. I'd build like this giant wolf guy and like a robot that's like 10 feet tall and is like... He shoots his hands off, and it's just fucking great. The gameplay itself is actually really fun. It's really, really similar to City Heroes. The thing that's a lot better is it's all cel-shaded now, so the graphics are really sleek. It's very, very cartoony. The characters all have a lot of emotion. That's true. No, what Micah said, says female, all physical character sliders down, breast size max. The breast size default is max.
Oh, wow.
It is. When you go to build a female character in Champions Online, the breast size bar is all the way to the right. So everybody, like... Yeah, and like even like you move the slider halfway down and it's like still like a double E.
Is there a microtransaction to extend the slider even further?
No, so that's the thing I should probably get to. So the gameplay is actually really fun.
It's the same kind of just click point.
Yeah, like you have action keys, the only thing that's really different is you have an ability, like your default ability is an ability that builds your energy bar. So rather than having like a mana bar that depletes and slowly recharges, you have an ability that you use constantly that charges the rest of your abilities. So like for my guy, who's like pretty much like, he's like your typical super strength, invulnerability, flight, that's just the kind of guy I love to play. So he has just like a flurry of blows. And, like, I can do, like, a combo, a flurry of blows, and then it'll build my power bar off, and then I can do, you know, more powerful hits and, like, dragon, haymakers, dragon punches and things like that, and then I can hit with, like, I-beams
dragon or punch.
I do. So, yeah, like, honestly, it's free. It's a lot of fun. I honestly, everybody should download it. We should start a fucking super team and break shit.
Oh, really?
Is it Mac? Do you know?
I don't know if it's Mac.
I'm
no
just
idea.
Trying to find that out, but it looks like you have to sign up before you can.
Yeah, I have no idea. They don't ask for your credit card or anything to download it. They just ask for like an email address, and they're like, take it, it's yours. So how do they make money is a good question. Everything that you want that is above and beyond is a microtransaction. So if you want like fancier armor, fancier, you know, sword, you want like a shark fin coming out of your butt, whatever that you,
so you
cannot
can buy,
get.
Can you buy a better character? Is that what we're saying? Or can you still make your non-paid character good?
Yeah, you can. No,
okay.
No, there's still literally tens of thousands of options for what they call a silver account.
Right.
The gold accounts have more options. Like you can tweak, like with a gold account, you can tweak it above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's say for instance, with a silver account, you can make your like typical templates. You can make like a fire guy or like a nice guy or a telepathic guy. But if you have a gold account, you can tweak it so like your fire guy can also shoot ice beams out of his butt.
Okay.
So yeah, you can customize
cool.
a little bit. But yeah, Champions Online, free for all. It's fucking great, and I can't wait to play it.
Sweet.
Yeah. I want to play it right now, actually.
Well, we have to finish the podcast before you can do that.
And I have to go to work in like 5 hours.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, Scott.
Yeah, let's talk about James Bond 007 Bloodstone.
Really?
Which is, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is sadly probably the last game that's going to come from the Bizarre Creations studio, who also made Project Gotham Racing and
yes.
some other racing games like Blur.
And they also made
Geometry Wars.
Yes.
So, I kind of the reason why I wanted to talk about this game was to, I don't know, to kind of like put it out there, like that it's kind of time to stop trying to compare all James Bond titles to GoldenEye. Because
yeah.
that was a long time ago, and GoldenEye the movie really wasn't that great. I mean, it was a good movie, but if you go back and watch it now, it was kind of like,
all the Pierce Brosnan Bonds were really bad.
Yeah.
In retrospect.
Know,
at the time, we're like, these were wonderful.
So when
and
people,
then,
you know, like when you get a hard-on for GoldenEye, like, let's try to figure out what we're actually talking about here. Like, are we excited that there was multiplayer in that game? Like, you know, were we excited that, like, I mean, because the gameplay by today's standards, you know, like, is not so great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it was one of those games where, like, all the enemies were always in the same place, and in order to beat the game on, like, the highest difficulty, you had to memorize where all the enemies
yeah.
were. You know? That kind of thing. So, kind of a new day. You know, it's time to, like, look at these James Bond games just for, you know, like, let them stand alone as their own game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to, you know, there have been many, many games since then. You know, Rogue Agent. There was a game on the that came out on the GameCube with an original storyline. This is actually the second James Bond, or second or third game in recent memory that has a unique story, so it's not based off of a movie or anything. And the game is actually really good. It's not a long game. It's not complicated, and there aren't necessarily gameplay elements you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
But
so everything you hated about Dead Space multiplayer, you love about
no,
Dead Space.
Because the Bloodstone multiplayer is awful. But no, the thing that I was just about to say is that the game does a really great job of letting you be Daniel Craig's James Bond, and that, in my opinion, along with, you know, like, if you're a fan of James Bond and you like this kind of like world, you have to play the game. And that's kind of like what I'm getting at. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically you're saying you like playing as like someone who looks like they're
punch drunk and like
yeah
and angry all the time.
Well, I mean, like if you've seen the newer movies, like Daniel Craig's James Bond is, he's not like a ninja. He's actually kind of a brawler and he's reckless. And yeah. He's kind of a thug, and you play that way in the game. So the game has a very useful melee mechanic.
Okay.
And it's the way that it works is kind of very similar to Splinter Cell, except that in Splinter Cell you're trying to be stealthy,
mm-hmm.
and in this game you kind of just want to creep up on guys so that you can like choke them out, and then by doing that, the reason why I say it's like Splinter Cell is that you can get these what are called, I think, like Bond focus attacks. So you can get like three of these attacks, and they kind of give you like an instant aim to kill guys, just like you would do mark and execute in Splinter Cell Conviction.
Huh.
But you know, just like in those movies, the game will reward you at times for just running into a room and just grabbing the first guy you see, like knocking him out, and then just shooting the other guy like while you have
right.
it. You know what I mean? So it's not
there
a
was some. I mean, I played multiplayer at your house for mm-hmm. a little bit, and it was fun. I mean, I didn't think multiplayer was totally crappy or broken. It just was exactly what every multiplayer is.
Yeah,
which is just kind of like generically running around and shooting people. But some of those mechanics, like you're describing them, I think a little nicer than they really were. Like that. Like, oh, do that stuff, and then the aim and shoot. It seems like they had kind of thought that through, and then they were like, okay, well, it works on the pistol. Let's just move on from this. And then every other gun is like, dude, like, the machine gun is crazy. The sniper rifle actually scopes in. like you click it to do it with the sniper rifle, it pulls it up and puts your scope on. So, like, if you're here, and I go to shoot you with the sniper rifle with my, like, quick kill, it's like this, and I'm, like, looking at your, like, pores in your face all of a sudden. Like, it just seemed like they were kind of like, oh, that mechanic sounds cool, and then never really,
and
like,
here, and that's the thing that is confusing, is that excellent things in gameplay and single player don't carry over into multiplayer. So in multiplayer, there's no... You can melee, but there's no melee animations. So in the single player, like, if you're behind cover and a guy walks by, you push a melee button,
Nothing happens.
Grabs him from behind cover and, like, puts him in a chokehold and pulls him over the cover to, like, subdue him, and then in multiplayer you run up to grapple a guy and you get this motion, like the 90s like
gun. But even swing. Then sometimes, depending on how bad the lag was, you would just stand there and like you like run up to him and you're like, and then both of you all of a sudden would like swing and one of you would die,
or sometimes both like, of you would die.
It was the most random shit. The whole thing was like so hackneyed.
So let's ask why this studio closed down.
Oh my god, man. All I can figure is that they got rushed at the end, and they just did not figure it out. Yeah.
And the thing that is confusing, that is really confusing, is that both this game and Quantum of Solace were published by Activision, right? Quantum of Solace was made by Treyarch, right? So if you follow this back, like, you would hope that these guys probably use some leftover Call of Duty code to make Quantum of Solace,
right?
And then maybe Bizarre Creations took some leftover
Quantum of Solace
code.
Totally broken too, though.
On PC, it was broken. On console,
apparently, we never said the title of the game. It's James Bond Bloodstone.
Yeah. But what Bizarre does well is racing, and there's racing elements in the single player game which are not so bad.
Well, but I mean, they've made four racing games at this point.
Yeah,
they might as well. They better be able to put a car in a game.
The cars sound amazing, but the sequences are canned because it's a movie. It like what I wrote in the review is like, you know, there are like movies and then there are popcorn movies, and if there's such a thing as like a popcorn game where you just kind of like sit back for like it is like a 2 or 3 day game, you know, you play it over a weekend and then
right.
you're done with it.
Mm.
But if you have that time and you enjoy,
and I would accuse you of gamer score vulturing from this game, but I also know that you're a gigantic James Bond fan.
That's,
so
yeah, I am biased. I'm a huge James Bond
like
fan.
Like, if I picked this game up and was like, oh, I have 2,000 points, like,
yeah.
you guys would be like, whoa, wait a second. Why are you playing this?
But I thought they did a really good job of crafting a story which was faithful to the world as it is, like,
right.
the way James Bond is now. And then
honestly, when I was at your house and I played the multiplayer a little bit, and then I think I saw a little bit of the single player, it didn't look bad. Nothing was bad about the game. It's not like it glaringly looked horrible.
Yeah, like the only thing I would say negatively about the single player is that sometimes the characters' faces, the models, like, are like 10 years ago.
Oh
model.
God!
You know what I mean? Like, you're like
squarish.
You're like, I thought they did a better job with faces now. And
yeah.
then the other thing I wrote is that sometimes, you know,
I feel like that Mass Effect sometimes,
really?
Even two.
Yeah, Daniel Craig
just felt old.
Daniel Craig sometimes talks with pouty face as James Bond, you know, like in the movies.
Yeah.
And then in this game, they tried to reproduce that, And he kind of ends up looking like Martin Keimy from Lost.
Oh, geez.
You know what I mean? Where, yeah. like, the chipmunk face a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
And a little off-putting, but, I mean, that's it's such a minor thing in a game.
Huh.
So, I mean,
so
like,
all would you purchase, would you recommend someone purchase this
discount
game?
Discount purchase, right? Or rental?
It got purchased and sold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, well, that's your system.
I think, yeah, it's absolutely a rental. Like, it's a weekend rental. It's a popcorn game.
Yeah.
You play through the story, you know, like, it's Daniel Craig, Judi Dench, and Joss Stone is, like, the girl, and they're all voiced by, you know, those people.
Oh, really?
And you play, you know, it's like a 2 or 3 day game. You just play through it. You enjoy it. It's a story that you kind of sit through and shoot through.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, a fun weekend
all
game.
Right.
So I just kind of wanted to, like, make a case for...
Yeah, so you, I mean, you're, as our Bond fan, you were required to...
Well, I also want to make a case for games that aren't... Shooters that aren't, like... Call of Duty, Gears of War, you know, and why you should play some of those games, but not all of them.
I'm about to drink this, so...
Edit.
So violent.
Well, I think we're actually going to take a quick couple minutes anyways, and then come back and do the last little bit of discussion.
Poop pee break?
Poop pee break. Poopy. Same time, all of us, same toilet.
Ooh.
Oh, don't cross the streams.
So to recap, new site.
Yes.
Reviews. We did reviews.
Yes.
Please go read the Abby Heppy article.
Yes, please.
Please keep retweeting and sharing that on Facebook. We're trying to give that article as much life as we possibly can.
Yeah.
So that'd be very sweet of you. I'm going to add the... There's a couple things on the site. You'll see things just kind of pop up as they're going this weekish or so. So when it happens, you know, feel free to use them. Like the sharing stuff for Twitter and Facebook is not on there right now. I'm going to add that back in.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that. If you have any thoughts on the site, drop an email to me. You can drop it to them, but then they just have to email it to me anyway, so it really doesn't matter. If you want to write, please submit some article ideas.
By all means,
to
write
probably
some
Ash and I, because this guy's going to be out of commission pretty soon.
Yeah, where are you going?
You know, I just got some stuff.
So what's happening? In 2 weeks.
I'm going to get married, I think.
Married, you think? Let's hope it's more than you think at this
point. No, it's happening.
Ain't no stopping this train.
It's a definite thing. We've already paid for the food, you guys. Right now, it's got to happen.
I'm excited for the food.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Is it?
I think so.
You know,
so where is the Xbox set up at the wedding?
Yeah,
the Xbox, we're secretly going to put it at the kids' table.
Man, you should put the Kinect in there
and then
everybody dance party.
Whoa, that would be insane.
Jen will never let that
happen. That would be the worst wedding ever.
Lives ruin lives.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you're standing up there and I'm right. Actually, when you're standing up there, I'm right behind you. I'm going to whisper it in your ear.
Yeah.
Lives ruin lives.
You're going to punch her in the face, man. She'll kung fu punch you.
She works out, man. She's pretty tough.
She's way tougher than I am.
Way tougher than any of us, I think.
Yeah.
And she cuts hair.
I know. She's got to cut mine before the wedding.
I need one super ASAP.
You better get that taken care of.
I know.
So,
what are we going to do next week? I know one thing that we're going to talk about next week.
What's that?
We're going to talk about some board games that we played.
We actually played it this week, but Ashford could not make it, and then neither could our friend who introduced us to this game, so we decided to waylay it into next week, and it would be the tabletop game we talk about next week. It's called Small World.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun as hell, is the preview to that little talk.
Next year is pretty far off. Yes, it is.
I think we're going to have Adam on next week, our friend.
Yeah, we'll have Adam on. We've kind of already done a bunch of tabletop talking, but he's more into board games, so we might talk about board games and things like that. He's actually probably going to show up on the site doing some writing, too.
Yeah.
About some more interesting, like, kind of scientific stuff, like gaming psychology and things like that.
Good deal.
I don't know what else, you know? Valentine's Day is coming up soon after that.
Yeah, we're going to definitely...
We have a special episode that will be not live, but will get aired through the normal podcast releases.
Mm-hmm.
sometime that week as well.
The Love of Gamers episode.
we just hired prostitutes.
Yes, we did.
That's a strong word.
We recorded it.
And what else? Oh, that the same, the 15th is also Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
All right.
Which is, I'm buying, and I'm going to play this shit.
You going to get the fight stick?
I am.
It got released today, the news of it.
Yeah, I'm going to get the
Now, did you see in the forum I posted something about the, you know, like, there's a lot of customization in the fight stick. Do you have a preference for...
Really?
Yeah, like, okay, so it's called a gate, but on the fight sticks that came with Super Street Fighter 4, it was built with what was called a square gate, so that means that if you move the joystick through the motion of... through its range of motion, it's a square.
It's awful.
You know what I mean? And what I'm used to in the arcade, and I think what most people are used to is the round gate.
Yeah.
Or even like an octagon, but probably more like a round gate is what you want.
Yeah.
Where it's like...
square.
Yeah, the gates are square.
On the one I have?
Yeah, the one that
you
have.
Fireman?
Yeah, it's a square gate.
I must be totally used to it then.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of weird about it is because you're used to doing like fireball motions just by kind of like grinding through the gate.
I wonder if that's why I can do dragon punches so much better on this one than I can.
Maybe because you can like...
I know how to like...
There's
I
a
can,
diagonal.
It feels better.
You do the Z motion through the square gate.
Because when I used to, like in the old one, when I would do dragon punches, I would consistently throw fireballs.
Yeah, because you're supposed to like push forward and then loop it back. But
yeah.
With the square gate, you can do a Z kind of motion. And that's like... And then there's even like... I read about this a long time ago, but you can do like... You can have buttons that like click or buttons that don't make a click noise and then stick differently.
Hmm.
So there's a lot
that
of...
That sounds ridiculous.
A lot of...
It's like $100.
A lot of
professional
fight stick customization options.
Mine was
what,
80? This is when I got 80?
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Very pricey. I think I'm going to pick it
up. If you get it, though, then we can dual fight stick.
Hell
yeah. Set up the dojo.
It's definitely going down. I'm very, very excited.
It's a dojo.
10 years in the making from all
we're what else do we got? We got Oscars coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I've actually posted a big list... I called it a challenge, but really I don't care if any of you guys watch the movies, but
yeah.
I spent like a solid hour composing this list. It's got every movie that's up for an Oscar. It's got all of the Oscars that it's up for. It's marked as whether it's Best Picture. It's marked as... and then it's ranked in order of how many Oscars that it is up for.
How many nominations it got?
Yeah.
Okay.
Non-shockingly, the top 10 are the are the Best Picture nominees, the top 10 movies. For by award, but I put it up because I'm actually really interested in trying to go through and seeing as many of the movies as I can. I'm always consistently behind the Oscars and I've never seen 90% of the crap.
So you want to know what's going on? You
yeah, I
want
to know. So I'm a challenge to myself, and as I'm watching these movies, I'm going to post a little, not reviews because everybody's reviewed them already, but just kind of quick like hits on the site about, hey, we've got Toy Story 3 here at the house right now.
Ricky Gervais hosting that one?
Oscars? I don't think they're letting Ricky in there. Although... I wouldn't care. I thought he was funny. He was an asshole, but he was funny.
Yeah.
I don't like that guy.
But I mean, like, we're not talking about, like his writing partner mentioned on, I think, Jimmy Fallon.
Fallon, yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about making fun of doctors and teachers. We're talking about people that are...
Yeah, these are actors.
Actors
I mean,
that make
like,
tons of money.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, you know what I mean?
Like, he wasn't... And it's not like he was picking on, like, little no-name people, too. He was, like, you know, picking on... The biggest of the
Yeah, like, you know, someone's got to take the piss out of you every now and again.
But then even, like, Robert Downey Jr. came out and made fun of himself for, like, 5 minutes in his thing. Like, I mean, anybody who starts getting pissy about that shit just kind of, whatever. I mean, he was definitely a dick. He was a total
abrasive.
I think, I just don't think the guy's funny.
Sure.
I never have.
Yeah.
He's just very smug. I don't like people like that. So, he's just like...
He's fit and he knows it.
He thinks he's the shit. I can't fucking stand it.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, man. You
he know. Is a multi-millionaire.
Yes, he is.
Maybe he is the shit.
Night at the Museum 2.
Yes. His brilliant role as the curator.
Yeah.
Very good.
So
that's it. We'll see you guys next week. And, you know, February's going to be a super busy month, so keep checking the site.
Sorry for all the technical difficulties today. I'll be talking to Bright House on my computer pretty soon.
Yes. Yes. We had a couple streams going. I think we just crushed the bandwidth.
It's not that many, man. Come on.
One, two, three, four, five.
Plus, those are up and these are down. Chrissy's sleeping.
Yeah.
She's not watching.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Oprah makes $1.2 million a day. Micah just wants you to know that.
Yes.
You could put that in a fortune.
Micah account. Memorizes as many things about large
Oprah.
Black women as he can.
He likes Oprah. Did you hear about Oprah's secret sister?
Yeah.
How excited is that bitch?
Probably very. A lot of money.
Say, wait, Oprah's my sister? It's like finding out, like, God's your brother. Like, oh, my God, my brother? What the hell?
All right, thank you guys. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Enjoy the site.
Adios.
Adios.